Welcome to DC On Screen, a podcast about the DC Universe properties on film and television, both past and present. Be ye warned, this and every episode of DC On Screen is spoiler-filled. If a show or film has been released, it's fair game. I'm your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason.
Hello.
Alrighty then, this is our weekly news episode, so we're going to be diving right the hell in with Arrow.
It started to sound alphabetical how we're doing this.
It's not meant to be that way, but, you know, I kind of figure it's fair to start off with Arrow because, you know...
A male makes the most noise?
Well, no, I was thinking I want to get it out of the way.
Well, whichever side you prefer, go forth.
All right, so apparently, in the upcoming season 4, Thea will not be pining for Roy Harper. They're saying apparently she's going to have a new romantic interest. It was pretty vague. But he's someone named Alex, and he has political aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the person who has political aspirations is going to be bringing her into contact with a potential new suitor. Good Lord.
Either way, with Roy Harper gone, you had to hope. Maybe she'll just actually stay single for a minute, get to know herself a little bit. Absolutely not.
No, because they don't know how to write the character without a man to tell her what to do.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Alex is apparently going to be a sharp and polished political consultant who will be figuring heavily into Thea's life. Oh, man. Everyone's kind of assuming that he has a secret identity to protect. Okay. So moving on to something.
Even the DJ last season.
I know.
They all do.
Moving on to some really cool Arrow news. Mm-hmm. They've released deleted action scenes from Arrow season 3.
Oh.
Have you seen this?
No, I didn't see those.
Oh no!
I will need to go find them.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, man. The scenes are narrated by the stunt coordinator James Bamford,
mm-hmm.
And he does. He gives us some very interesting insights into the story, into the fight choreography. We do learn it's probably like a 2 or 3 minute video, but we learn that one fight was cut because Roy's choreography was too sharp and was apparently deemed, quote, distracting. And another was...
It was too good?
Yeah, for the scene they were doing, apparently, yeah.
It just...
Another was cut because the script was rewritten for a Flash crossover. Like, when they actually, when they are escaping... I can never remember the name of that stupid place. Nana Parbat, is that right?
Manda Parbat.
Whatever it is.
Right.
When they're escaping that, it was supposed to be like a completely different sequence. The Flash wasn't included, but they wrote the Flash in to save them. And also there's a particularly impressive wonder they show in the deleted scenes that I wish they'd really, really, really kept. I really wish they had. It almost rivals that great one-shot Daredevil scene in the Netflix show.
Really?
It's a good sequence. And he said they did keep most of it, but they cut it up a whole lot between other shots, and kind of makes me sad.
Mm.
But yeah, that is up and online, and it's pretty badass, guys. Go check that out. It's some fun stuff.
I hadn't found that yet. I'd like to.
Did you want to talk about Stephen Amell in the WWE again?
No, only to mention that Amell is getting raw. He is. He has agreed to show up on SmackDown or Raw. I don't freaking know. He's agreed to show up and wrestle.
Oh, so, my God.
Apparently Amell's getting bored in the offseason.
No kidding. He did put out a tweet that was pretty funny. It has nothing to do with Arrow, but he congratulated his wife. He thought it would be him who taught their daughter her first curse word. It turned out it was his wife who did it. So. He's a fun guy.
Sweet times.
All right, over to some Flash news. You are hacky today.
I'm sorry. It was a tough time.
Just a coffee hacky.
We're back.
It'll be all right. All right, over to the Flash. We're going to mention this real quick. The 1990 Flash series, starring John Wesley Shipp, and for one episode at least, Mark Hamill as the Trickster.
Mm-hmm.
The entire 22-episode series is now available to stream online on CWC.
It worries me a little bit.
Why?
If it's if it's now part of the story, at least enough that they want to include it on CW Seed, I feel like I might need to watch it. And I kind of just didn't want to. But, you know, King and Country.
Yep, yep. King and Country, man. Due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah, I'll do what I got to do.
All right, exciting news. They have cast Wally West for the second season of The Flash.
Yes, sir.
He's being played by, I don't know how to say this, Kenyon? Is that right?
Sure. I have Lonsdale? No idea. I have no idea how that name said.
It's a kid from Insurgent.
Right.
And this whole news episode is pretty rife with names that I am not going to know how to pronounce. So calm your judgment of me.
Yeah.
You have been warned.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to judge you. I have no idea with most of these names what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll persevere anyway. You know, no one cares. They just want to see him play, you know, Wally. His name is Wally for all we give a damn.
Right.
Wally's easy.
Oh, man. Executive producer Andrew Kreisberg is saying they tried really hard in season one to make time travel easy and understandable for regular viewers and, you know, complex enough for the hardcore nerds to enjoy. He says they're gonna take the same kind of care with the parallel realities. He says, we're trying to do the same thing this year with Earth 2 and the concept of the multiverse and the concept of doppelgangers. Just, oh my God, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having a lot of fun with that and getting glimpses of Earth 2 probably sooner than people would have thought. Now, I have heard reports that basically Barry is going to run into that big black hole, singularity, whatever they're wanting
big
to call it.
Pie in the sky.
And wind up in Earth 2.
Of course.
Like, that's first episode, so that's what I'm hearing.
Probably, like, you know, first scene, first episode. I don't know how you'd end it with
crossed,
that.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
Yep. Go quickly, Barry, into that Dark Knight. Bring us back adventure.
Interestingly, San Diego Comic-Con news is still leaking. I'm telling you, man, the reporter's there. They just hold back info.
Right.
Well, it's on in.
You go to the well, and you know, you try to make it across the rest of the desert.
Right. At this point, we're getting half-empty canteens. But the moderator at the Flash panel mentioned that the Flash would show off a cool new power in episode 2 of season 2. And Barry Allen himself, Grant Gustin, has confirmed that. I'm going to go ahead and assume that it's vibrating through solid objects.
Well, he's already done that.
Has he already done that?
Yeah, he ran straight through a semi.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hmm. I did not remember that.
Now, I mean, he's got a lot of tricks, but as far as new powers, I honestly don't know. I don't know where I don't know what to put my money on.
Yeah, I don't know then. Jeez.
He's kind of already done the thing where he runs around a tornado.
Yeah, he's done that.
We've expressed that he's so fast he can run through time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's going to be able to run so fast he can create sort of boom tubes.
Okay, I'm getting excited. You're going to have to stop.
I don't know. I mean, dude's really fast. You can do a lot of fun tricks with it. We'll see. It'll be fun. We won't know. It'll be fun to find out with everybody else.
All right, over to Legends of Tomorrow. There are a few little casting news bits here. They have cast Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the Carter Hall iteration of the character.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be played by a guy named Falk Henschel.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how you pronounce that.
It's as close as we're getting.
Now, the Hawkman origin is really messed up. Like, he's had multiple origins to the point where, like, at one point he was like an alien space cop, and at one point he was an archaeologist who finds some alien tech wings. At some point he was a reincarnation of an Egyptian god.
That one's the one I'm most familiar with, the kind of Isis Osiris thing.
It looks like the producers are going to be doing like a combo, like the archaeologist who is a reincarnated Egyptian hawk god,
mm-hmm.
which makes me sad because I kind of do want to see the alien space cop. But
well, I mean, if they ever go to space, you're going to have he's going to be in Legends of Tomorrow, so he's going to be an alien Earth cop anyway.
Yeah.
All he has to do is venture off world, and you've got your wish.
Yeah, they are saying that he's going to be accessing his powers through the hawk god Horus. So yeah, all right. I mean, you know what I really want to see? I don't care about any of that, really. Mm-hmm. What I want to see is I want to see Ollie get really, really liberal and Hawkman just be really staunch conservative and then have it out. Like the old 1970s Justice League comics.
Right.
That you, was might, always you might really get that. For me. Apparently, Ollie might get all political, so you might get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was always really fun for me.
That's the rumor now. It's a bunch of Oliver may run for mayor kind of stuff. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see. Yeah,
but they'll wimp out on it. They won't assign an actual, you know, political agenda to either to anybody. They'll just be like, root for Ollie because he's the main character.
Yeah.
And he'll be very vague with all of his political beliefs.
And, you know, same time, as funny as that image is when you describe it, I really don't care to hear these people's takes on healthcare. I really don't.
No, I do, but it should be healthcare that's like about the show. Like it should all be political beliefs that are slightly tweaked to like fit Starling City. Like, you know, you get certain benefits if an earthquake machine goes off and destroys your home and injures you.
Well, like superhero a lot insurance. Of homeowners insurance, for instance, doesn't have a clause for terrorism, so you're kind of screwed.
Right.
And by a lot of accounts, most of supervillainy would count for terrorism. So, you know, State Farm and Alpha are fine. We'll let them argue about that for a bit.
You and I both listened to this book on tape. It was on CD, really, but it was what was it? The like law practices of superheroes or something.
Something like it.
It was like an actual lawyer who like sat down and like sussed out all of the actual legal ramifications of superheroes existing
right.
in the Marvel and DC universe.
As a for instance, it's impossible to commit first degree murder if you actually know who Wolverine is. You can't
yeah.
even it can't even be first degree attempted murder because there is no idea that you're actually going to end him.
Right. So, I mean, that's interesting to me. That kind of stuff is interesting. I'm
well,
not
actually,
saying
the tax ramifications of Superman giving Lois a coal made into diamond is actually kind of douchey. She would owe millions of dollars in gift tax. He'd have to give her like 12 diamonds so she could
right.
keep one.
Right. But yeah, I would I would kind of like to see that. I'm not saying I want to see Arrow : The West Wing or something or The West Wing.
You just
of
want
Queen
Aaron
Mansion.
Sorkin to do one episode.
I want Aaron Sorkin to do multiple episodes, but that's
right.
neither here nor there. All right, Vandal Savage has been cast over on Legends of Tomorrow as well. He's being mm-hmm. played by Casper Crump of
Best
The Killing. I don't
name ever.
Right? That's a pretty cool name.
It's awesome.
I don't know this cat, but he looks like Vandal Savage.
Yeah, he looks great. He's an unknown to me completely. A lot of these casting choices are just... Actually, all of them. All of the casting choices I've heard this week. Aside from the fact that I knew Channing Tatum had a wife, that was the closest I was to being familiar with any damn body I heard the name of.
Speaking of which, we're going to jump over to Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy Lane, the sister of Lois Lane, younger sister, I might add, is going to be played by Jenna Dewan Tatum, which I am assuming is Channing Tatum's wife. She was previously seen in Step Up. I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't seen a single portrayal of any of these people.
If any of these people are in anything that is not DC related, I probably haven't seen it.
Oh, they're
DC
in things.
DC or Marvel related. I mean,
they all have their own IMDb pages and responsibilities
sure.
and keys.
More power to them. I haven't seen any of these things.
Right.
So, now what's interesting is Lucy Lane in the comics, she wound up, you know, being a superhero. And wound up fighting Supergirl and did not come out on any kind of good side of that.
I haven't heard about that at all. I've missed that one.
Well, she winds up getting into the army, and the government gives her basically they've sort of cloned like a Superman suit kind of situation. It's a suit with mystical powers that gives her the Kryptonian powers.
Their own little
on
K-suit.
The same scale as Superman's, right? And so she's working for the U.S. government. She has a row with Supergirl and apparently dies. That's what we're looking at the comics anyway. So that's what I can find on her. I never really followed the Supergirl comics or any iteration of Lucy Lane.
No. It's a whole area I don't know much about. But if they actually, I mean, come on, it's on CBS. It's not a network that's known for getting too dark. So I'm afraid they're not going to pull any kind of cool punches like that.
They better.
Well, they better if they want to stay on. But I'm afraid they're going to kind of wimp out.
Yeah, me too.
I want to be all wrong. Right. I want to be wrong.
Over to Gotham. Some sad news, but not entirely unexpected. Crispus Allen, Andrew Stewart Jones, and his partner Renee Montoya, Victoria Cartagena. Is that how you say her name?
I think so.
They're not going to be regulars for season two of Gotham.
I'd happily argue they weren't regulars for season one of Gotham, but
yeah, I mean they were regulars for the first half of season one.
Yeah, they were around, and then they just sort of stopped.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I kind of do. I hope they show up though. I hope they show up as recurring.
I just wanted to show up and finally do something interesting and then go back to where they came from.
Based on the trailer, they just released another spot called The Lunatics Will Run the Asylum.
Which is,
and based on that,
it's exciting. It actually is.
Based on that, it looks like Jimmy's going to need a little help.
Mm-hmm.
Things be looking rough.
It's okay. The Chinless Wonder is on his way.
Who is the Chinless Wonder?
Oh, what's his name? Why did I blank on that bald man's name? Chickless. Thank you. Thank you, brain.
He has a fine chin.
Well, I'm sure it's there, but
it's just shrouded in jowl. Oh,
they'll be fine.
So this new trailer, man, they show Tigress and Jerome, as we are. How? What did you call him? Schrodinger's Joker.
Right.
Not a whole lot in this trailer, but just lots of little cool shots. And one really cool shot, and I hope they keep it in the actual episode. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the shot of Gordon running through that kitchen.
He looks stoned.
He does. It looks like it looks like they're shooting it like he's stoned.
Right. It looks like the trick you use where you, you know, strap a camera to somebody's front side and have them walk around.
Yep, that's exactly what it looks like.
And yeah, usually you do that when people are under the influence of something. I don't know. I mean, maybe that Crane kid finally got out of his little fear coma.
Yeah. Now, in their official tag here that they have for season two, they're saying the stakes are higher than ever as Gotham explores the origin stories of some of the most ambitious and depraved supervillains, including the Riddler, the Joker, and Mr. Freeze.
I haven't seen
Bruce
Mr.
Wayne.
Freeze yet in any of these.
I know.
The first time I get eyes on him, there's going to be a little squeal.
Bruce Wayne uncovers more secrets from his father's past. I hope that's not the entire season.
Just him exploring that cave?
Yes.
Well, you don't expect him to suit up as, you know, a 9-year-old, do you?
Yes, I do. Do Batmite.
There's not really like a Bat Kid anywhere. I don't think he'd be able to fit his suit. Now, Alfred, go find the suit and let Alfred run around and torture the knight for a little while.
Oh, yes. So much yes.
You going to tell me, Pert, we couldn't pull that off? Go, man, go.
Oh, man. So much yes.
He's clearly a fighter. God, he had some of the cool fights out of that whole show.
Now, there is a new poster that came out with that trailer as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty standard poster, man.
Yeah.
But just thought I'd mention it.
Just an exploding shot of all the... Kind of got loosely all the good guys on one side, all the bad guys on the other side. Loosely, I say.
Yes. Now, there's some speculation going on, and we're going to back that up with an interview a little bit. There's speculation that Barbara is going to become Harley Quinn.
Oh, bollocks.
I know. But
she's not interesting enough or animated enough. She has like two expressions.
Someone had an interview with her and they asked her, "What can you tease about Barbara's time with the Joker?"
Mm-hmm.
We know they're in Arkham together, and she says, "Or is he the Joker? We'll call him Jerome." She starts season two with being taken into Arkham Asylum. She kind of swans in there with this fun little dress on, like she's going to the spa. She has no concept of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
No, she does. So even the actress doesn't know where this character is going, apparently. She goes into
that
Arkham.
Kind of back and forth sounds. That's what I think is going on in her head when she's actually on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's not the kind of person where you can see the gears turning and they're all moving in a certain direction.
She goes into Arkham and she meets all these characters, one of which is Jerome.
Mm-hmm.
These characters are going to shape her a little bit. They all shape the way Barbara develops into the series. But she's kind of at the reins. She's so free and in touch with her real stuff now. That's an actual quote, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Her real stuff now. Her skill is she knows everyone's weakness. So when she meets someone, she's just like, oh yeah, I got you. I got you. Then she can use that weakness, but she might not let that character know she knows that weakness. She will just play along with each individual person until she gets what she wants. She's going to be really powerful, which is exciting. Then they asked her about the Harley Quinn rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I've read that. I thought that would be really fun. She could be anything right now. She has so many options available to her. She could be her own villain. It would be fun, but I'd like to see how Margot Robbie is going to come out with that one. She'll be great. Well, finally, you're right about something.
Right. And that was a pretty cogent thought.
Right?
So, I don't know, maybe there's hope. I want to say we're being hard on her, but I can't muster that much optimism.
I know.
Try it.
We're going to jump over to Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice news.
Wait, one more TV thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one more TV thing. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
I'm very, very happy with Cisco. And the actors said, now back to The Flash, obviously, there are changes to Cisco's biology that are happening. You can definitely expect pretty early on for Cisco to start grappling with those changes. I'm just excited because I want to go ahead and see him get a little super.
Yeah, okay. I did actually forget that someone said that they saw a photo shoot of Cisco and Lisa Snart on a date.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. That seems to fit in with the Cisco's grappling with changes to his body. Maybe he's finally hit puberty.
Right.
Oh. Over to Batman versus Superman news. Zack Snyder apparently leaked a photo of Bruce Wayne walking through that big field we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
The most exciting BVS news we have this week is someone recut all of the Batman vs. Superman trailers that have been released so far, like the little teasers and the STCC trailer, and put a whole lot of, they recut it to be like the Deadpool trailer.
Right.
It's got, you know, Shoot by Salt and Pepper and X Gonna Give It to You by DMX. And it's actually pretty, pretty damn fun.
Right.
I watched it probably four or five times and just giggled and giggled and giggled.
Yeah, a little Deadpool treatment wouldn't hurt. I don't know. They're going for dark in this one. And so far, they look like they're on point. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Now, speaking of the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers has pushed back two Ben Affleck movies. The Gavin O'Connor directed The Accountant has been pushed back from January 29th, 2016 to October 7th, 2016, and has moved Live by Night, Affleck's adaptation of the Dennis Lehan novel that he's also starring in, from October 7th, 16 to an unknown date in 2017. All this to say, that makes a lot of sense if this rumor is true. There are rumors that Affleck... There were rumors that we reported on that Affleck was going to be teaming with Geoff Johns to write a standalone Batman script. Well, it's being reported now that on August 6th, Warner Brothers held a private screening of Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie apparently got a standing ovation from the executives. Word is they called Affleck the definitive version of Batman and decided to make him the centerpiece of the DC Extended Universe. In fact, they have apparently moved the number of solo Batman films from one standalone to three standalone movies over the course of 10 years.
Oh, the inevitability of the bat.
Right.
It makes sense, though. First of all, he does look like he might actually be able to pull off that whole definitive version of the bat thing. And it sounds like the executives basically pulled the old fuck you, take my money.
Yeah.
Gave him three films. They just handed over about $500 million.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to make this clear, too. If a whole roomful of Warner Brothers executives stood up and gave a standing ovation and called this Ben Affleck Batman the definitive Batman, I have a fair amount of worry resting in the bottom of my gut.
I know. Well, it defied some logic because the image I had of WB executives was doddering. I didn't know they could stand and ovate. So I'll have to change my perception slightly.
They can ovate.
I imagine every one of them, though, as needing a cane and still believing that bow ties are, in fact, cool. And not in the ironic way that we love.
Oh, Jason.
Well, it's the kind of mentality that goes, oh, those are the comic book people. Oh, those are the TV people. They can't do a they can't do a feature film, kid. Yeah. You know, come on now.
Well, I mean, clearly that's changed as they have Geoff Johns freaking writing.
Yeah.
At least partially writing everything they're doing. So.
Right. I mean, that'll help. And I was actually excited just alone about Ben Affleck and Geoff Johns being in the same room. That could be really good. But Affleck has gotten some chops going on. Kid can write.
Surprisingly so, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. We all thought it was Damon. May have been wrong about that one.
We may have been. I mean, some of the interviews I've seen him give, he kind of seems a little out there.
Right, right. You know what he does love, though? Tom Brady.
What's that?
Man loves Tom Brady. What?
Oh, I can't speak to that.
All right, you know, you learn a lot when balls get deflated. Anyway.
Over to Suicide Squad. Actress Corinna Calderon, I guess? She has
just
a small role.
Except that we're not
going to
get
Squad.
Any damn names right this episode. That's
right.
Not happening.
Well, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Just and
good old college go.
She the old college try. Mm-hmm. She has a small role in Suicide Squad, and she Instagrammed something earlier this week and then quickly deleted it. Mm. She posted a selfie with the caption, E, all happy, sorry, I misquoted, E, smiley face, all hashtag happy camper, on my way to set again, going earlier than my hashtag call time, just to be there and watch my boy, Jim Perak, playing hashtag Johnny Frost, do his thing, hashtag Suicide Squad. Well, she clearly wasn't supposed to do that.
No.
Because now we know that Jim Perak, who can be seen leading Joker down a hallway in the Suicide Squad trailer, is playing the character of Johnny Frost, the Joker henchman from that Brian Azzarello book. What was that book called? I don't even remember.
Oh, God, I don't know.
God, I was supposed to remember that.
That one's too far down.
This is the guy who winds up... this is the guy who winds up working for Two-Face, and then Joker basically sexually assaults his wife in front of him as punishment for, quote, cheating. So, yeah. I believe he actually kills Johnny Frost at some point.
Well, don't they all die eventually?
Yeah, sure. You don't get in league with the Joker and expect to survive that unless your name is Harley.
No. And even then, you know, it's only due to sheer pluck.
Yeah.
Like being the right-hand man of the Joker only means you're closer when he flails his arms with a knife in him.
Speaking of people posting things they shouldn't, Jared Leto tweeted a picture of a crowbar to Eli Snyder that said, ha, ha, ha. Leto soon thereafter deleted the tweet.
Right. Here's... I'm slowly falling in love with Jared Leto. Has the most to do with the fact that he's taking a character that we all really care about, and he's taking it as or more seriously than anyone else in the room.
Oh yeah, they there was a leaked picture. Someone took a picture of him walking down the street or something. It wasn't even really a leaked picture, but someone grabbed a picture of him walking and on his phone. You can see his phone, the screen, and there's a new 52 Joker. Like, he's reading a Joker comic on his phone.
Right.
He's
just trying to keep up.
And it's, like, the issue where, like, Joker, like, gets the dude to, like, cut his face off.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah. He's getting real deep into it then.
Yeah. So, you know, hey, at least he's caring enough.
No, he cares. And I've got to give him this. Yeah, we have yet to see the final product, but optimistically, I can say right now he's so much the Joker that he's actually the Joker in real life.
Mm-hmm.
On the meta level, sending a picture of a crowbar like that's being the Joker insofar as you can to me as a human.
That's like if the Joker could sit still long enough to send a tweet.
Right, or be bothered to figure out how it worked, instead of asking Johnny Frost to figure it out while he diddles his wife.
All right, we have found out that Wonder Woman is going to be shooting this fall.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League starts shooting in the spring.
God, these are good times.
Zack Snyder, I know. Zack Snyder has disclosed that the upcoming Justice League Part 1 will form one giant story alongside all the other solo movies. He says, the first thing we had was the Justice League concept. The other movies have to support that. They have to be their own creative concepts that supports them, but they do serve Justice League in the coming together of those heroes. He did say that each production team would have a lot of space for creative freedom, and that the directors would be able to, quote, stretch their legs and do what they want to, or do what they do best. He says, at the same time, there is a big interconnected universe. I have given everyone amazing access to our story, to me, and what we're doing. All the films have like-minded conceptual jumping on points.
Okay.
So we do have a Kevin Feige, and his name is Zack Snyder.
You know, that's okay.
It's terrifying.
Again, as long as it's going through one centralized area, I'm fine.
Now, they have revealed that KG Beast looks to be one of the bad guys in the Justice League movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, what was it going to last, 10 or 11 minutes?
I don't know. For those of you who don't know, in the comics, KG Beast is he's a special agent and a KGB assassin.
Mm-hmm.
But he was cybernetically enhanced to become a killer.
Of course. He pops onto the Suicide Squad occasionally.
He does. do you have anything else for this week? Or for this episode, I should say?
No, I think that was it. The highlight for me is that damn crowbar.
Yeah, the crowbar is pretty fun.
Crowbar is really pretty great. How scared were we when we saw that first image with the tattoos and damaged and... It looked like he'd just been shown like a live birth video. And
I've seen a live birth video and I was more scared. I was more scared about the Joker than I was about that.
And now here we are, and we've got Jared Leto sending crowbars to potential Jason Todd's.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
or Dick Grayson's, we don't know.
Right. Just life ain't that bad right now, man.
Yeah, well.
And I do like with the Justice League, it sounds like what he's going to do is try to give everyone kind of it's almost a tributary to a river. He's he's trying to give everyone their starting off point and saying, you need to make sure you get here by the time this movie ends because I need to use it here. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
That'll leave us at least Flash, Aquaman, and Shazam between Justice League 1 and 2 to really kind of help tie the stories together. And probably another Batman or two in the meantime, I guess. If they keep throwing out paychecks left and right, we're going to have a Suicide Squad 2 before you know it. Or just a one-off, you know, Joker Harley.
Let's put aside the Suicide Squad 2 and just hope for a Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Everyone wish.
If Deadpool makes the bank, they might actually do it.
Yeah, they could.
I mean, Jason Todd's kind of a funny character. He can be very Deadpoolish.
He can.
Importantly, he looks like Deadpool. Which is all the Warner Brothers execs will understand.
Right.
And away we go.
Right. They'll look over and go, hey, wait, we have one of those, don't we? Yeah, put him on.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's news episode. We are DC On Screen, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and on DCOnScreen.com. If you're itching for a similar podcast about Marvel, go check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, hosted by our buddies Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall. Here in the lull of summer, they've decided to go back and review the Marvel movies they didn't get to, so this week's Iron Man, I believe. Speaking of lulls of summer, though, we're going to prepare for the oncoming Batfleck with Bale Fleck. We're going to go review all the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy, starting tomorrow with Batman Begins. We hope to see you there. Until next time, put some of that greasy, gritty Gotham City DC on your screen. I know we will.